worship that we have been today, both this morning and this evening.
I'm taking my text this evening from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. And you may wish to turn there in your Bible, or if it's visible on the screen, to follow it there. John chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. The occasion that is before us is that of Jesus with his apostles in the upper room. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, that is to betray Jesus, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he came forth from God, and that he goes to God, rises from supper, lays aside his garments, he took a towel, he girded himself, then he pours water into the basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he comes to Simon Peter, and he says to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and says to him, "What I do, you know not now, but you shall understand hereafter." Peter says to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash you not, you have no part with me." Simon Peter says to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus says to him, "He that is bathed needs not except to wash his feet, but is clean completely. And you are clean, but not all." For he knew him that should betray him. And therefore, said he, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he says to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, the Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, neither one that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, 'He that eats my bread lifted up his heel against me.' From henceforth, I tell you before it comes to pass, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that receives whosoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me." John chapter 13, verses 1 through 20. When we think about the scene of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, it fits in as one of the final ways in which Jesus demonstrated toward his own close disciples what he had said to them earlier, in which we mentioned this morning, when he said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus would soon do just that in the ultimate service of his life that crowned all other services. He would give his life a ransom for many. He knew that when he washed his disciples' feet. His sacrifice of himself in his death did not diminish the significance of the many ways that he had served during his ministry, but rather it emphasized the value and the meaning of all those other services that would be leading toward that final service for the benefit of all. He lived a life of serving and doing good for others according to God's will, and his sacrificial death was then the final service that he performed during his life. And that glorified God, as did all of his life and work. And it was a service that was done for all, to give his life a ransom for all, said Jesus. Now, when we consider this scene of Jesus washing the disciples' feet in the upper room, I want to call attention to some points rather quickly, but I think they're worth considering when you see that scene and think about it, what Jesus was doing and what he himself said about it, and what was said in preface to it by John the Apostle, because he had a number of things to say about Jesus himself before Jesus got up from the reclining position at the table and prepared himself to wash the disciples' feet. These things John said years later by the Holy Spirit. When reflecting upon this scene, the Spirit guided him to include this in his gospel account of the life of Jesus. John wants us to know these things about Jesus and what Jesus understood before he washed the disciples' feet. So for the first place, following what John has to say about this scene, we read that Jesus did this knowing all that was about to happen to him in the experience of suffering and dying. But he also did this knowing that he, as one who had the one who came from the Father, was about to return to the Father. And this he would do by way of death and resurrection. Jesus knew all of that. All of that was on his mind as he took the time to do this good work of serving his disciples. Second, he did this out of love for his disciples. John remembers Jesus' love, demonstrated in so many ways during his ministry. He calls attention to it here, that he loved his disciples to the end, says John, there in the first verse in this record. The words translated to the end could also be translated to the uttermost. That is, totally. There was no reserve in Jesus' love for his disciples. It was unstinting, total commitment love on the part of Jesus for the welfare of his disciples. And that love motivated him in what he did in washing the feet of his disciples. Third, Jesus, though he did this, even though he knew that his disciples did not understand what this service meant, but he did it without an explanation at the first. He simply went to work and began washing the feet of the disciples. In the course of doing that, Peter showed that he was one of those at the table who did not understand. And Jesus said he would understand later. And then when he had finished the service, he asked them if they understood the meaning of what he did. And it's interesting that he did it in that way, that he did not begin with an explanation. He began with the act of service. Then, having done the service, he explained what he did. He did not require that they understand what he was doing before he and his humility went about doing good for them. In the next place, we see that Jesus did this to give them an example. He tells us that plainly, that it was an example. It's an example of what? Of serving, and that they also ought to have the attitude of servants and to serve one another, not just in the matter of washing of the feet. It is an example of all such service that is truly done by the motive of love to meet a need. And this was a need, and it was a matter of hospitality and custom with which people were familiar. It had been neglected, and we could speculate on the reasons for that, as they may have lain within the hearts of the disciples. But there was no obstacle in the heart of Jesus, and he did this service, and he did it to give them an example of the life of service that they had witnessed in him over the past 3 years. And then notice in the next place that Jesus did this impartially. Not one is left out, and that includes Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. If the washing of the feet included only the 12 apostles, if there were no others in the room, then that would be the feet of all those apostles. 24 feet being washed one by one, not one neglected, not one is done in a hurried manner or treated in some way that would be obvious that he received less good than the others. Jesus did this not only thoroughly, But he did it without grumbling. It was evident that he did it with the same heart and attitude, the same spirit that he had performed all of his services for all people during his ministry. And one thing that I have thought about the life of service of Jesus that was public, is that there was a background to this. It was the background of 30 years of life, growing up in a family and in a community in Nazareth. And nobody was ever able to say that the background did not match the ministry of Jesus in its attitude, its spirit, and its selflessness. Though Jesus only began to do miraculous signs during his ministry, his first sign being at Cana of Galilee, John chapter 2, though that only began during his public ministry, the life of service and being a good person, a righteous person, and a person of truth and true service for others was the background of Jesus' life. So nobody would be able to come before the public and say, this is not the Jesus that we knew in Nazareth. He was a selfish person and arrogant. He only took care of himself and didn't help other people. No, nobody could ever say that because he was never such a person as that. In his life of service, publicly in his ministry, Jesus continued to live as he had lived in the past. And then another thing that we see is that he not only did this without grumbling and did it thoroughly and did it impartially, is that Jesus also did this to help them. He truly wanted to help them spiritually. And that's borne out by everything in this account and what Jesus says to them and what he asks them. Jesus did this to help them, not to humiliate them. And as John looks back upon this scene and he paints it for us thoroughly so that we can see it, we can even hear it, the sound of the water, the sliding of the basin, Jesus going about this work methodically, one person to the next, one foot to the next. Though they might have felt embarrassed because of their attitude, that it was their teacher and Lord who was washing their feet. Jesus did not do this to humiliate them. He did it to help them spiritually. And that too was evidence of the love that he had for them, his complete goodwill for their lives. So when you and I read this and we think about how they felt about it, what they learned from it, how it was a benefit to them, we ought to be reading that and thinking about his love for us. How if we had been there, he would have treated us the same way. And how he went on from this place to offer himself to do what he said he would do, a ransom for all. He has so blessed us. This whole life of service is a blessing to us. The record of it is a blessing to us. The giving of his life as a service to God for our benefit, of course, is a ransom for all of us. You observe then that the last thing Jesus said in the record that I read, verse 20, verily, verily, I say to you, he that receives whomsoever I send receives me. Whom would he be sending but these very men whom he has trained and taught, on whom he has had this influence of love and demonstration of God's love? These will be the men he sends out into the world with the gospel of redemption to receive them as his emissaries, to receive that truth about God's love through Christ for us, is to receive Christ himself, and in receiving Christ, to receive the one who sent him, thus to receive God. The Gospel of John has further words to say about this sending and this receiving, and so do the other gospel writers. But in summing up what we have followed here, and this thought about sending and receiving in verse 20, I simply direct your attention to the recall of Acts, the second chapter, when these very men on Pentecost Day said to an audience, this Jesus did God raise up, whereof we all are witnesses. Jesus had said to them, you are my witnesses. He had told them to remain in Jerusalem till the Spirit came upon them with power, and then to proclaim the good news, beginning there and then throughout the world. How then did those people receive that testimony of the Spirit through these men? They did so by being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, and then beyond that, they did so by continuing in the apostles' teaching, who taught them and gave them demonstration of what it meant to be men who had been with Jesus. The influence of Jesus upon the lives of these men, then through them came the influence of Jesus in the lives of those who received these men, and thus received Christ. And there's never been any change made to that. That was the way of God then for bringing people to redemption, and it remains the way of God to this day. And with this song of invitation, we invite you to receive and to come to God through Jesus Christ.